Measure of Money. Whatever you think about the free enterprise system, making more money now and in the future is a cornerstone for those for-profit companies who participate in it. Let's look at how TOC can fundamentally shift management thinking and achieve ever better returns on shareholder funds. My contention is that by using the systems-based measurements of constraint accounting, you'll be equipped with the means to make better decisions. The reason we have financial measurements in the first place is to ensure that we make better financial judgments for our organizations. These judgments can fall into six basic categories. Investment decisions. What should I be investing in to ensure I'm getting my best possible return on shareholders' funds? Product and service decisions. Which mix of products and services will maximize my organization's profits? Evaluating profit centers. How do I know which profit center is doing well and which is doing poorly? Make buy decisions. Should I be making a product or developing a service within my organization, or should I buy them out from a third party? Pricing. What price should I be charging for the goods and/or services I offer into the market? Let's get some definitions down. The basic financial measures of TOC can be articulated by the formula ROI equals T minus OE over I, where ROI equals return on investment, T equals throughput or sales less truly variable costs, referred to by cost accountants as contribution margin, OE equals operating expense, defined as labor plus overheads, and I equals investment. Throughput less operating expense equals profit, and hence T minus OE over I is profit divided by investment, or ROI. The goal of a for-profit organization is to maximize return on investment, both now and in the future. To do this, it must meet certain necessary conditions, such as satisfying shareholder investment criteria, engaging staff in the vision, mission, and purpose of the organization, and ensuring that there are good, healthy relationships with suppliers and regulators. The troubles begin with the unexamined assumptions we make about our existing accounting systems. Fundamentally, whether you're in the world of projects or production, the prevailing paradigm has us break up the whole into constituent parts to try and tame complexity. We use methods in our management accounting which call for earned value in projects and absorption costing in production. Both methods are fundamentally the same. They seek to ascribe value to activity, regardless of whether the activity is at the constraint or not. No less an authority than the late Stanford professor and management accounting academic Charles T. Horngren made the case that, quote, relevant information is the predicted future costs and revenues that will differ among alternative actions. The existence of a limiting factor changes the basic assumption underlying the cost and revenue opportunity of a particular action. Close quote. This statement can be put another way. An organization will maximize profit when it sells the product or service with the highest contribution margin, throughput, per unit of the constraint. The idea is self-evidently true. All organizations have constraints, or else their profits would be infinite. The corollary is that non-constraints must then, by definition, have excess capacity available. But this is not the way the clear majority of finance departments look at the world. They generally ignore the contribution made by the scarce resource, and indeed wouldn't know what the scarce resource was, nor what to do with it if it were to jump up and announce itself with a megaphone in hand. Most finance folk obsess about cost drivers, firm in their belief that knowing and reducing the unit cost of a product or service will maximize profits. Instead, they struggle mightily to achieve what in the business is called the matching principle, that is, to match the revenue in a given financial period with the costs incurred in that period. Revenue less costs is, after all, the definition of profit. Because finance sets the rules of the game, operations ends up chasing down their local efficiencies, assuming that a penny saved here and another saved there will all add up to what the scorekeeper says is important. There is a nagging feeling, though, that something is amiss. Are they not all trying to make money for the organization and not merely save costs? Is the additive weight of the links in the value chain what's important? Or is it the strength of the weakest link which determines how much value can be pulled through? Marketing and sales are also caught in this dilemma, struggling to sell the product or service with the highest gross margin per unit, that is, selling price less fully absorbed cost. Finance fears that sales will give away all the margin they have just to get the deal. So the finance folk load the cost of the product or service with as much labor and overhead burden as they can muster, so that when the product or service is eventually sold, they have a misplaced sense of comfort that as a consequence of absorbing all the costs the accounting conventions and policies allow, the organization will maximize its profits. Marketing and sales are also caught in this dilemma, struggling to sell the product or service with the highest gross margin per unit, that is, selling price less fully absorbed cost. Finance fears that sales will give away all the margin they have just to get the deal. So the finance folk load the cost of the product or service with as much labor and overhead burden as they can muster, so that when the product or service is eventually sold, they have a misplaced sense of comfort that as a consequence of absorbing all the costs the accounting conventions and policies allow, the organization will maximize its profits. However, it's actually worse than that because of the sleight of hand of accounting, which credits an operating expense to profit when that operating expense is absorbed into the cost of a product or service. Operating expense absorbed by the product or service miraculously moves to the balance sheet as an asset, whether it's work in process, trapped in the system, or finished goods no one wants to buy. It becomes very tempting to overproduce so that more and more operating expense can be converted into inventory or earned value. Meanwhile, converting precious cash into warehouses full of product and taking focus off the critical paths of projects. The dilemma about whether or not using product or service cost leads to maximizing profit is articulated in the evaporating cloud. Abandon absorbed product or service cost, or use absorbed product or service cost? If we can all agree on the idea that the organization is looking to maximize profit, then in the necessary conditions, we have maximized throughput at the constraint and maximize the difference between revenue and cost. The preconditions for that, we have the dilemma, abandoned absorbed product or service cost versus use absorbed product or service cost. There is no issue with profit maximization coming from maximizing the difference between revenue and cost. Indeed, that statement is not in conflict with the idea of maximizing throughput at the constraint. They are mutually supporting necessary conditions for maximizing profit. Where the argument breaks down is in the assumption between C and D prime. It says that in order to maximize the difference between revenue and cost, we must use absorbed product or service cost because, according to the matching principle, I must absorb periodic fixed costs into the cost of my products or services so I can determine product or service profitability. If all of this sounds a bit technical, let's look at a simple example. Let's say product A has a fully absorbed cost of $10. That is, all materials and absorbed operating expense comes in at $10. And it takes 1 hour to produce this product, which you sell for $20. Your gross profit is $10 per hour. Now, if product B only makes $1 of gross profit per unit, calculated on the same basis as for product A, but it takes only 5 minutes to produce, then all other things being equal, we will end up making $12 profit per hour, a 20% improvement simply by selecting our sales choices according to the principle of maximizing throughput, not product cost. The idea of being able to determine the cost of a product or service based on production volume and the allocation in a given accounting period of an often arbitrary operating expense burden is the accountant's equivalent of Don Quixote tilting at windmills. We often fail to examine our assumptions, no less so in business than in any other walk of life. The decisions we make, based on unexpected habits of thought, can have fateful consequences for organizational performance. We are handed a set of measures by the accountants and assume that in reading them, we'll have a good idea about how to go about making sound financial judgments. But reading the financials and thinking you know what's really going on in your organization is like going to your favorite restaurant and eating the menu to understand the taste of the meal.